Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from Talk Sport. Game Day, your verdict.
Hello, I'm Laura Woods and you're listening to the Game Day Your Verdict podcast, the very best of TalkSport's phone-in shows on Saturday after another thrilling game day across the network. Liverpool went clear at the top of the Premier League table after a convincing win against previously unbeaten Arsenal. Chelsea won a thrilling match against Norwich City by 3-2 at Carrow Road, while Manchester United were beaten at home by Crystal Palace. Let's start at Anfield, where after victory for the Reds over the Gunners, Jurgen Klopp spoke with TalkSport's Graham Beecroft on Your Verdict with me, Laura Woods, Darren Bent and Sam Allardyce.
Jurgen, congratulations. You must have been delighted with the effort that was put in there. It was a phenomenal effort.
Absolutely. That's number one. That's what you can ask for. That's what you should expect. That's what you want to see. And the boys did it again on an incredible level. So it's just, I think we in when we are like this, we are difficult to play. We played a really strong Arsenal side, but in a good moment, but we were in charge of the game. We had a little bit to adapt to the system, which surprised us, obviously, but we adapted well. We had our best crossers pretty much constantly in crossing situations. Movements in the box were not clear enough. We were too often in one spot, so it was difficult to find one. But the desire and the greed and the aggression and the passion we showed in the all defending moments, we were in that moment was as well. So everybody wanted to be in the right spot instead of splitting the runs. So. Yes, I loved it. I loved the effort. I loved the passion. It's the whole atmosphere again so early in the season. Having this kind of atmosphere in the stadium is just incredible, and I'm really happy.
It was Jordan Henderson's 100th appearance as captain, and he worked as hard as anybody and led the team brilliantly.
Oh yes. So well deserved, and I think I'm not famous for not praising Hendo. But what the three midfielders did today was incredible. Fabinho, Gini, wow. Just that was the right midfield, I think, for today. We did what we had to do. The boys were football-wise spot on, but work rate-wise somewhere else. So that is just incredible. Plus offensive players, Bobby. So it's normal. Mo scored 2 goals. He will have the headlines. That's normal. But how hard Bobby and Sadio work, that's unbelievable. And that makes us then an uncomfortable opponent, and that's what we want to be. And if we are that, then we can win football games.
And Mo Salah scored an absolutely fantastic goal.
The penalty.
Yeah, that as well.
Yeah. No, true. Absolutely true. That was now created on the training ground. It was not a finishing, but how it happened. The pass wide. Inside, one touch in behind, and a bit lucky, of course, that David Lewis missed the ball, but it's difficult in these moments to get these one touch balls to judge them right. And Mo was there, and then the run and the composure how he finished it up. Yeah, that's Mo.
Yeah, pleased with the result, particularly the second half. And I think it's probably we're seeing the experience of this team that's been together a few years now, and they used to get into finals. And he just seemed to be able to get the job done now, regardless of who we're playing against. And I think it is. You can just see. I think somebody touched on there. Arsenal perhaps maybe three years behind where Liverpool are now. That's not a slight against Arsenal. It's just I think it's just a fact. Yes. And I think you can see the experience. I don't think anybody really fancies beating them. And that's why we lose so few games. I think that's what we're seeing now. Without playing sparkling for 90 minutes. But it's still early in the season. But they look, I wouldn't say unbeatable, because every team's unbeatable. But they look like they've got gears to go to if they need them.
I agree, to be fair. I think most teams now that play Liverpool at the moment are going there not to get beat, rather than actually believing they can go and win it. And that's testament to Liverpool, because of how they've done the last couple of seasons and how ruthless they've become. But I feel that now most teams are setting up their teams to go, you know what, let's go to Anfield, or if they come to us, not to get beaten. We'll see how it's 67 minutes ago if we're still in the game and go from there. Whereas Liverpool at the moment, I believe, are so ruthless that once they get in front, they go for 2, 3, 4, 5 goals. And I think that's why they're probably arguably one of the best teams in world football.
I would agree with that. I think that the recruitment, and like I said before, the sorting out of the defensive problems has been critical in the success of Liverpool. And I think that people are talking about the fact they're conceding more goals this year than they did last year in certainly this early stage. But they're still winning football matches. But both sides of their game is, at this moment in time, as good as anybody else in the Premier League. It matches Manchester City as they did last season. And I think that is the key element that Arsenal need to adjust. You know, they've got good forward players, they've got goal scorers, but their defensive side doesn't match up to what Liverpool's does, and that's why they struggle. In fact, the whole team of Arsenal is not as talented as Liverpool now.
Yes, Unai, for the first 40 minutes, it was a tremendous performance by your team. You must have been delighted up to that stage.
Good evening. Well, I think in 90 minutes we worked at a different moment in the match. The first half we were defending very deep, but also I think we were doing well, and we were taking some opportunity for a transition to take chances. We had that, and their goal in one corner was also for that result is not good in the first half. And the second half, I think the key is the penalty, very soft penalty. And after 2-0 is difficult, but I think our reaction and our show, our character was a good moment to do that, and I think we did. Not enough for the result, but just for create our spirit and also create our idea for the next matches.
Yeah, and the timing of the penalty, a body blow as well, so soon after half-time, and you've given everybody instruction again.
Yes, our idea was more control with the ball, but knowing the pressing was very, very strong. And also, if we didn't have that control with the ball, with the possession, had good transition with Pepe and with Auba, and I think the second tactical issues was better in the first half. We did that better, and the second half I think changed the match with that penalty. After changed the match with our their goal, our goal 3-1, and we keep the ball the second half better with the players, but it's because they played more deep after their third goal. But really, for me, the most important today is what we show our reaction. We can reduce, I think, in distance with the tactical or performance individually with the player also against them. And really, we can be optimistic for continuing our way.
Pepe made his full debut. What did you make of it?
Good. Really, I am very happy with some different players, with the speed from the team. But individual also we can say for today was perfect. How against the best team, against the winner, the last Champions League, and one central back like Van Schick, how he played today.
Let's go to Tony, the Liverpool fan. What do you think, Tony?
Hello, how are you doing?
Yeah, we're very well. You're sprightly, as expected.
To tell you the truth, Arsenal played really well in the first half and you know, they did give us a game, but it is, and the commentators kept going on about it, that Van Dijk was under pressure and they'd never seen him like this. That's ridiculous, you know what I mean? It's about 90 minutes, and in the end, it was like watching a David Attenborough documentary. We'll take a lion, hunt down a little baby gazelle. They were just too strong for them, you know what I mean? They could have had more goals, you know, they were just too classy in the end.
Tony, who would the gazelle have been? Who would the gazelle have been? Which Arsenal player?
The whole Arsenal team. and don't forget, we've got a goalkeeper missing at the moment, so that unsettles the defence, I think, at the moment, you know, because the fella we've got in goal at the moment is a bit unpredictable.
Adrian, he did have a little bit of a moment, though, didn't he, where he tried to clear the ball and it fell at the feet of Aubameyang.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? And Van Dijk sort of... You could see Van Dijk panicking because he was like running face on to him, so he was panicking a bit.
Well, Sam, you were at the game. How would you respond to Tony's comments?
Well, I think that if you've picked up a goalkeeper for nothing and you bring him to the football club, you can't expect him to be as good as your number one. And I think that the only reason he's not as good as your number one is his distribution. I think his overall goalkeeping is just as good. He'll save shots, he'll catch crosses, he'll be in the right position. But the distribution, which is, as a used emphasis on a goalkeeper's performance today, isn't quite as good as the number one goalkeeper. So, but he has done a fantastic job stepping in, because he spent no time with Liverpool this pre-season. He was just waiting for a football club. I think he was going to go back to Spain, I think. Wow. And he got the call last minute to join him. And then on the first game, he gets injured and he's on, and he's been there ever since. So it's full credit to him. He's a great lad as well, and he'll give everything to Liverpool. And he'll be so proud to actually put a Liverpool shirt on when he goes back to Spain. He'll be crowing, I tell you that now.
Steve is an Arsenal fan. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hi, Laurie. You're right.
Yeah, not too bad. How are you feeling after that?
Oh, negatives out of the way first. I think, to be honest with you, I think Emery got his tactics a little bit wrong there. I think he's got his lineup wrong. I think Ceballos, I think, was out of his depth. I think, to be honest, I think he really struggled against the Liverpool line, to be fair. I think after only playing a couple of games in the Premier League and him having a really, really good effort last weekend against Burnley, there's a, no disrespect to Burnley, there's a big, big widened gap between Burnley and Liverpool.
Mm. Sam Allardyce doesn't agree with you, actually. He thinks that Unai Emery got his tactics right. Where do you think he got them wrong, specifically?
Well, I think Ceballos was out of his depth. The commentators are agreeing with me. He was struggling. I think he really, really was struggling out there, to be fair. I mean, look, it's all about opinions, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I thought Ceballos struggled today, but it's that selection rather than tactics. Although the tactics were right, but I thought if... By the basis of his performance on what he did at Burnley last week, it would have been a little harsh on him not starting here today. But I think maybe he could have substituted him early when he saw he was struggling. I mean, to step
in. Granted. I mean, the thing is, again, the commentators highlighted, the front three. Did Lacazette not deserve a start? I'm
tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides, and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Struggling with that one. I mean, you've got Lacazette, you've got Aubameyang, you've got Pepe that's come in for 70 odd million. You've got three prolific forwards there. I really, really think you need to start utilising that, or at least trying it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think a lot of people are questioning Emery's philosophy at the moment and where he's going. You've seen that in the press this week about what his philosophy is, where he sees that team, what his setup is, whether he's four at the back, whether he's five at the back, and he's got his two wing backs. I don't know.
Darren, how do you fit in those three? How do you play Lacazette, Aubameyang, and Pepe?
I mean, the formation, I mean, how he's going to get him in. But I do think you're right, as in, when you go to somewhere like Liverpool, they've got a lot of firepower themselves. You need to match it. Mm. And you're right, if you've got Lacazette, Aubameyang, Pepe, these guys, you need to utilise them, because there's no point trying to hang on and then trying to play catch-up. So for me, I'd probably go with them with all that firepower and at least go and have a go at them.
It's disappointing, Steve, as well, because in the first half, Sam was saying it, that they defended so well, and then to concede in the way that they did, or, you know, potentially all three goals even, well, the third one, most of that was just
ridiculous. I think, to be honest with you, we handled that first half really, really well, and it was a real shame to concede that goal 4 minutes before the end of the first half. The only thing I'll say, the positives, as I said, the negatives, the positives, I think, to be honest, we did do well in the first half. You cannot, I mean, I know that David Luiz for that penalty, but what, I almost felt physically sick when I, what was it, second goal, Salah turned Luiz on the flank there. That was sickening to see that as an Arsenal fan, but that's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen from time to time. I've seen worse defending in the last couple of seasons as an Arsenal fan than that. Yeah, and it's just going to come with time, and it's going to come with time.
Steve,
David Luiz has played, two games for Arsenal. It's going to come with time, unfortunately.
Where does it leave you now as an Arsenal fan after, you know, three games in, two wins to open it up, and then a loss like that at Anfield? I mean, are you still positive?
Well, it's 5-1 last season, 3-1 this season.
It's getting better. It's an improvement, isn't it?
It gives me some positives going forward. I do think if Emery can get his philosophy right, stick with the team and get a bit of consistency with that team, that front three, I think they can get up there into that top four. It's a big ask. It's a big ask to sort of like wield that gap, but I think
they've,
that top four.
They've
four's
certainly got the front line right, though, Steve. Yeah. They've got. Lacazette and Aubameyang have got two of the best goal scorers in the Premier League. I think that's unquestionable now. You know, they're right up there with Mane and Salah. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And obviously Aguero. I think that Arsenal have got that. And Pepe seems like he's going to be a brilliant signing. He's only just arrived, but he's settling in. It's just the rest of the team being good enough defensively, out of possession, because it seems to be Arsenal's big problem for many years now. Mm. Once they get that, Liverpool had that problem two or three seasons ago. In fact, it's probably three or four seasons ago. They cured that problem by bringing and buying defenders and goalkeepers. And now they're the finished article. And that's what Arsenal haven't done for many, many years. I hope Steve would agree with that.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. I mean, look, the final thought I'll turn around and say on it is, at the end of the day, we got to the Europa League final last year. We got within touching distance. You know, our last eight games last season, we should have had that top four wrapped up. We didn't. It's same old Arsenal. Tactically in that defence, it was shocking. I think improvements have been made. And if the improvements are made and anything to go by and the money spent, I think top four is definitely a realistic spot, a realistic push this year, and they've got to go for the Europa League. I think they've got to go for that trophy. I don't think there's any choice in the matter. I mean, it's all ifs, buts and maybes, but, you know, we're third game in the season. I'm staying positive. I've heard people turning around and saying, no names mentioned in the press, ex-footballers, Man United in crisis after three games. I mean, come on, really? That's all I'll say on that, but really.
Steve, one other positive that you can take from this is that Pepe dribbled past Virgil van Dijk for the first time in 50 Premier League games. I mean, that's just as good as a win, isn't it?
Well, that's what you're going to expect from a talent like Pepe, to be fair. I mean, he's come in, and I think he's done fairly well so far. I mean, you know, we're not going to expect great things. I know that the Premier League and the footballing nation is impatient with players that turn up for that sort of price tag, because there's always that sort of expectation on him. But he's turned up in the Premier League from a French league. He's had, what, one good season in Ligue 1, hasn't he? At Lille, and, you know, well, I think we have to take our time with Pepe, but I think I'm showing there's good signs there.
Game day, your verdict.
Well, we have to learn, and we have to learn quickly. And the last two games that we should have got 6 points out of, if you look at it, as a neutral. If you watch the games, of course, with two penalty misses away from sitting there smiling, happy with 9 points now. But that's part of the game as well. And today with more than, I don't know how many percentages of possession, but the first half an hour, no danger whatsoever. But that's when you have to be alert, because there was just one long kick and we didn't narrow down. Such an easy goal. And then the last goal as well, after we've had that pressure all second half. David's not touched the ball, more or less, second half. And they score again. That sometimes that'll be the case, because teams will come here and defend against us and drop deep like they did today.
Okay, let's go to Ryan. He's a Manchester United fan. What do you make of your performance today, Ryan?
I hope it's not panic stations. The thing is, obviously, Palace coming in, just setting up how they did deep, you know, sort of deep in our own half, two banks of four with the strikers coming back and helping. We didn't have any creativity to break them down. That was a worrying thing. Like, we were watching that, like, the second half, and although we penned them in, and we did pen them in as well, we just couldn't do anything with the ball. We just kept passing it side to side. It reminded me of the David Moyes football I watched years ago, and it was just, but nothing actually went into the box. There was no runs in behind. Whereas you look at Liverpool and you look at City, however much I hate to say it, they run in behind. And for some reason, we weren't. And even when Rashford did go to make the run, he wasn't found.
I've got a question. Do you think Marcus Rashford will score enough goals to make Manchester United a real force this season? Like, do you think he's got that in him?
I hope so. He's in my fantasy team, but I don't know. I really hope he will. Don't get me wrong, like him and Martial, I think they're both talented strikers, and I don't think people should be like, they're not going to score enough, you know, because at times they can have, you know, defenders kegs off and chew them up and spit them out, but I just don't think... I think it's more the midfield. I really, really think there's an issue there with us creating chances, especially in that little central attacking midfield slot. Lingard today, I think he seems like a great sort of guy. He seems hilarious, but he was shocking today.
So you want strikers because they're in your fantasy team, and you want creative players to be hilarious. No, just
I'd rather him be really boring if he's going to set goals up. I've not got a problem with that. Just today, he couldn't control the ball, honestly.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
Let's speak to another Man United fan. Sam has called into the show. What do you want to say, Sam?
Yeah, no, I think I agree with your previous caller. I think, you know, my concern as much as anything was that when things weren't going well, you know, they brought on Mason Greenwood. I mean, you know, no disrespect to him. It's hardly the cavalry. It's hardly the kind of bench you want. It was Juan Mata. You know, obviously he's got his best years behind him. And Mason Greenwood. And I think that's a concern, you know. Who's there to substitute, to bring on when things aren't going well? I think this is a very, very shallow squad.
Well, you would never have thought that, Matt, would you? I mean, you never associate United with a shallow squad.
No, but I think everyone thought that when you're thinking Lukaku's gone, Alexis Sanchez likely to go as well. We probably felt that up top was it. You know, we talked about it on Drive actually. You know, talking about who's going to get the goals this season. There's a lot of pressure on Rashford and Martial because you know they've never scored, you know, 20 goals a season, and United are looking for that type of figure. And I just felt they were a little bit short up top. Mason Greenwood looks like a talent, and Solskjaer believes he's the most talented out of all three of those, you know, in terms of finishing, I'm talking about. But you're asking an awful lot of three young players there to be the main man, and I just think that you need a little bit more, and they do look a little bit short up top.
Game day, your verdict.
James, thanks for joining us. Another good performance by you, and a win for Leicester.
Yeah, it's always nice to get the first win, you know. Obviously, we've had a couple of good performances. We should have beat Chelsea last week, simple as that, after our second half performance. So we knew we'd come here and be a tough game away from home. But to come away with 3 points and score two fantastic goals is always a bonus away from home, yeah.
Lovely pass for the opening goal.
Yeah, listen, Jamie Vardy's in the team, you know. I know his strength, he knows mine. So as soon as Ayoze Perez needs a bit of mention for that, because he pressed well. I think he might have even been him that gave the ball away, but he counter-pressed and reacted and ended up nicking it. It fouled to me, and I know what Jamie Vardy's strengths are, and he doesn't even need to look at me, and I tried to put it in his path, which I did nicely, and it was a fantastic finish. So
lots of people, including me, talking about this team this season maybe being challenging for top six. Is that on the players' minds even this early on?
It's not on our minds. I mean, we have our realistic targets that we want to set, and I think if we didn't set them high, then what are we doing? Do you know what I mean? We've got a great squad full of quality, and the fact that people are asking us that question means that everyone else thinks the same. So we'll keep working and keep improving, and if we break that top six, that'd be fantastic.
And this week, Gareth Southgate named an England squad. Not a bad time to impress right in front of him today.
Yeah, listen, I can always just play how I play, you know, and play my game, listen to my manager here, and let the rest take care of itself.
You must be aware that everyone's talking about you stepping up from the under-21s and being now an England senior player.
Well, if everyone's talking about me, then I'm doing something right, ain't I? But listen, like I said, I'll just keep showing my quality on the pitch and what I can bring and stuff. And like I said, everything else around that, I'll just let that settle.
There you go, James Maddison, one of my favourite players. Me and Matt Holland on the full-time phone in 08717223344. Tom is a Leicester fan who's been at the game. How you doing, Tom?
Evening, chap.
How good is James Maddison?
he's up there, and you know, it's good for English football that you got two talented number 10s in Mao to Maddison, going to be pushing for the English squad. But not just that, I think if you look at the Leicester squad, you've got Barnes, you've got Chowdhury, you got Damari Gray, who's been pushing at times. To, you know, the future very bright at the moment.
And, Chilwell.
Chilwell as well. I mean, it's just good to have all this young English talent coming through and a manager who trusts the players. And I think, as I said to one of the producers earlier, 12 months ago, that was a game we would have lost under Puel. Simple as that. But the belief the manager puts in those young under the kids to go out and keep playing the way he wants to play. There's no plan B for Leicester. We'll keep pressing, we'll keep passing, and something will come. And again, we got the rewards from keep doing it today.
How good is James Maddison then? I mean, look, I'm a massive fan, Adrian is as well. I put him in the same category as Mason Mount. He's that type of player. Do you expect him to get a call-up to the England squad next time round?
I'd hope he would get his call-up and get an opportunity to impress in the senior team. I mean, for me, the biggest advantage with Maddison is that half-turn. He can turn. I think we saw his first game for Leicester last year away at Man U, how impressed everyone was with his half-turn.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
He turns and runs at players. There's not many players who do that in this league. And, you know, as he said in his interview there, he's linking up with Vardy now, 12 months later, even better than he was last year.
You're right. And do you know what? One thing I loved in his interview we just heard there, Tom, when he's talking about how he links up with Vardy, he said this: Vardy doesn't even need to look at me. That's because Vardy knows how brilliant James Maddison is. And when you've got somebody you're playing with like that, not only would it be a joy for Vardy, but it's a joy for you lot to watch, isn't it?
I mean, you know when the ball comes to him, what he can do. Before he even knows, you know, he's getting the ball, he knows where Vardy's going to make that run. And if the ball's on, he'll play it 9 times out of 10. If it isn't, Maddison will then skin someone and then go wide. And it's a brush of fresh air, I think, not just for Leicester fans. I think for the whole of England, but we've got talented youngsters coming through with that ability and ambition to show what they can do instead of being scared to make a mistake where, I think maybe 2 years ago, if a player made a mistake, that was his international call-up gone. So it's fresh air all round that we're going to have players coming through in Leicester especially that are given the opportunity to play week in, week out in the Premiership.
I've just read the report, actually, Adrian. Jamie Vardy had 16 touches, 8 in each half. But his game isn't about coming short and linking play. That's not what Brendan Rodgers needs him in the team for. He needs him to make those runs. And what he needs is people who can find him. And in Marcus Maddison, he gets into those positions. And Vardy, all day long, on the shoulder, can I get in behind? Maddison will find me.
Did you just say Marcus Maddison there? I think you did.
Did I? did I say Marcus Maddison? He's a good player, isn't he? He's a good player. How many assists has he got? 65, you said to me the other...
I'm going to run through his assist stats in a moment, but he isn't quite
James Maddison.
But actually, one more thing, Tom, from the game today, and you were there. Jamie Vardy is a Sheffield Wednesday fan. My understanding is the Moose was telling us he celebrated in front of the United fans. Is that right? Was it a bit out of order, or what did you think?
Oh, come on, it's banter. I mean, Wednesday United, a very big rivalry. All he did was ran up and cupped his ears. He did nothing else bar that. I mean, he had taken a lot of stick from the United fans prior to that goal going in. So if they can't take a little bit back, then what's football all about? But it's a good day for Leicester. 2 draws and a win to start the season. Last time we were undefeated in 3, we went on to win the league. Hey, you never know what's going to happen this day.
Well, City have dropped points already, and Liverpool are being held by Arsenal 0-0 at the moment. Tom, really appreciate the call. Good insight from a Leicester fan who's been at the game today. Let's get the Sheffield United angle. They've suffered their first defeat, beaten 2-1 at home by Leicester City this afternoon, live on TalkSport 2. Let's hear from Chris Wilder with the Moose.
Chris, thanks for joining us. Not the result today, and I guess after the first half performance, you were probably annoyed about that.
Yeah, I was, yeah. We were nowhere near it with and without the ball, in and out of possession. We never got up and put them under pressure like we need to. Good players have time and opportunity to lift the red and got a lot of space to play in, then they're going to dictate the game. And then when we do, and then we do break it up, we gave the ball away so cheaply back to them, it was frightening. So, yeah, it's a disappointing first half performance. Second half, we've changed things around. I thought that Ollie and Billy coming on gave us a bit of a spark, and we held it up more, and we got higher up the pitch, and we asked questions and got ourselves back into the game deservedly.
There's nothing Dean could have done about either goal, and I guess both goals show the quality that the Premier League has.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a team that's heading towards or wants to went into the top six, and you give opportunities, but it wasn't even an half opportunity, it was some finish, it's a wonder goal. We couldn't find that bit of quality at the top of the pitch from our point of view, and they had it in Jamie Vardy and Harvey Barnes, and yeah, you're gonna get hurt if those opportunities drop to those types of players. I didn't think it was a game full of chances. I didn't think any goalkeepers made save after save after save. We couldn't find that bit of quality. They did, and they win the game, and from, in my opinion, deservedly so.
Well, Lundstrom was very close to getting an equaliser. I mean, a great save by Schmeichel.
He should score. Whether it was offside or not, I think somebody said behind that maybe it was offside, but he should definitely score. He shouldn't really give the goalkeeper an opportunity to make a save there from our point of view.
You've had 3 weeks now of the Premier League. This is the first disappointment you've had. How are you going to bounce back?
Well, you know, it's nobody's going to help you. You know, it's a relentless, ruthless, punishing division. And if you're off it slightly, which we were today, you know, you're not going to get the result that we want. So we know where our standards need to be. And, it was, for me, we for whatever reason, dipped below the standards that we've set in the first two games. And you're playing, like I said, you're playing a team that's, you're playing outstanding individuals and a manager who's an elite world-class manager.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
You know, you want it to come. We want to be competitive. We know the expectations of Chelsea. Never mind the difficulties that people keep talking about this year. We want to win games, and we've had a tough start with good performances at times that haven't given us what maybe we deserved. But today we've got what we deserved. We played really well, controlled the game, big elements of the game, and probably should have scored more goals to make it more comfortable against a very good team. Norwich will get a lot of points at home here, or home and away. They're a very good side, so I was delighted with the performance.
You did create quite a few chances. Mm. Is that ruthlessness something that's got to come if you're going to kill teams off and kill games off?
Yeah, I guess so. And that's why I'm delighted for Tammy to get his two goals. The strikers need to be competitive with each other, push each other on, because they're all going to get opportunities this season. But what I am happy with is that we are creating chances. We did it at Manchester United. We did it against Liverpool in the Super Cup. At Leicester, we probably should have been 2 or 3 up after half an hour. So the next stage is, right, can we finish more and make games more comfortable? Because if you allow teams to stay in the game in the Premier League, it's very tough.
What did you make of Tammy's performance overall? Because it was another big shout to give him the opportunity to play today. Olivier played last Sunday.
I thought he was fantastic. It was the finishes were really good. The first goal I thought was a top finish, and the second one as well that wins us the game. But yeah, really good. Difficult conditions. I ask a lot from the strikers. I want them to work off the ball. I want them to run channels. I want them to hold it up. I want everything from them. So it's in those conditions it was tough for him. But Tammy showed today, look at the stature of him, the size of him, the quality that he's got. If he's on it and he's running and causing problems, he has quality as well, then he can be a really good all-round striker for this club.
You had to make some changes because Pedro was injured in the warm-up and N'Golo Kanté couldn't travel today. But defensively, how do you think the team is shaping up? Because they conceded again today.
Yeah, we were good. Generally, the second half we were really good defensively, and there are moments, and I'm not giving anyone any credit. I think we defended pretty well, but then two moments and the game changes instantly when we should be controlling it more. So we have to work on that. Little errors, little collective things as a team, not just a back four. So we need to improve on that. So yeah, it's been tough in a way, because you talk about Kanté and you talk about Pedro last minute, but we've had a lot of injuries to important players. We've got Rudiger hopefully coming back. Willian, you see there, looking fitter and fitter. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Reece James. So that will help us now. And some of them are not far away. So I'm pleased with where we're going, but we cannot take our foot off the pedal. We have to keep working.
Are you enjoying yourself?
I didn't enjoy the last 5 minutes. I'm enjoying it generally. It's obviously a job that I'm very proud to have. Is my club for playing here for so long, so I'm enjoying that process, but I want to be successful, and that takes a lot of hard work, so not every moment is enjoyable, but it's certainly much easier speaking to you guys when we've won a game than when we haven't, so I'm pleased with that.
Game Day, the biggest football league in the world.
Game Day, your verdict on Talk Sport.